walk amongst the Hot Factor 90.3 Nigeria info and herring put Harker time dial. 9 minutes come past 5 o'clock. Discussions continue right now. And let's go straight to the matter next up for discussion. This is from our news yesterday. Now, NEMA in River State says it will conduct a full assessment of the stampede that led to the deaths of 31 people at Polo Club in Port Harcourt on Saturday. Zonal Coordinator of NEMA, Godwin Tepico, said the agency is in collaboration with the police to get details of the families of victims, and their report will be submitted to NEMA headquarters. Godwin Tepico also advised churches, political parties, and other organizations to always involve the police and emergency management agencies when organizing events that will attract large crowds. Let's take a quick listen to what Godwin Tepico had to say.
From my investigation, what actually happened was as a result of poor crowd control. And we have requisite government and state organizations whose duty is to ensure crowd control. And if they were contacted, I'm sure we wouldn't have suffered this calamity we have suffered in this state.
Now, several talking points. Of course, since the unfortunate incident on Saturday, there's been lots of discussions regarding the matter, and rightly so as well. And we keep the conversation on today also. Now, how should these gatherings, or whether they're large or not so large, be organized to prevent such disasters going forward? You can join the conversation via our social media pages on Twitter and Facebook. We're live there at Nigeria Info PH. Well, joining me right now via phone for this conversation is Iwo Finian is an occupational health and safety consultant. He's also a visiting lecturer, Center for Occupational Health, Safety and Environment at the University of Port Harcourt. Finian, good evening to you. Welcome to Hard Facts.
Yeah, good evening, Dayo, and thanks for having me.
Let's go straight to it then. When organizing any event at all, of whatever size or magnitude, how crucial, how important is the subject matter or the matter of safety of the attendees or the persons who are expected at the event? I suppose that there is a school of thought to believe that it is the responsibility of anyone who goes for an event to be concerned about their own safety. But on the scale of things that should be prepared for, whether you're planning to water, you're planning lights, you're planning music, you're planning refreshment or entertainment, food, on the scale of things to prepare for an event, at what level do you have the safety of the crowd or the safety of people who are expected at that event?
Yeah, Dayo, I want to begin by saying it's just natural that I send my condolences to the families of those who lost their loved ones on incident that could have been avoided. Okay, now let's talk about events and how crowds is actually managed during events. I need to go straight.
No, we'll get to how crowds can or should be managed in a moment. But the question I asked you is, how important, on what level would you place crowd management or safety of people, attendees or invited guests at an event? On what level would you place that importance relative to other things like planning for refreshments, planning for music, planning for sound, planning for venue and all of that?
I tell you, a lot of people do not know that if you are invited to an event, it is the responsibility of the person that has invited you for an event to ensure your safety. Okay? It is the responsibility of the person that has invited you for a function to ensure that you're not put in harm's way. Okay? So if you're planning an event, it is imperative that the safety of the person coming there is actually considered in the scheme of things. So the planning from day one, from when the committee responsible for such events is set up, security and safety of the person to attend such events is also considered topmost priority, to say the least.
All right, now, what if the event is not such a big one? You know, I mean, we're not expecting a crowd. We're not expecting a lot of people. Should we be concerned about the safety of the people expected to attend as well?
Yeah, Dayo, what we call event management is basically people understand. But the truth is, if you ask some questions, like, okay, we have an event, we're expecting 500 persons. Okay, what can go wrong in this event? What can go wrong? even a committee that does not have a basic knowledge of health and safety to ask if this vehicle can be stolen, so what can we do to ensure that persons coming to these events do not lose their vehicles? That's a consideration. You can say, okay, persons who are not invited to come, some persons can lose them. What do we really need to do? There could be medical emergency among the visitors who have been invited. What do we do? So these are very little things that are giving serious consideration, you know, what we say in the macline. But this part of the world, we're only interested in people coming and doing the event, and then anything can happen. Whatever happens, we actually manage the emergency as we see them. But you need to ask yourself, what could go wrong, and then plan ahead. These are basic responsibilities that anybody running or planning an event should consider. Sadly, our level of awareness hasn't come to that point where we need to, you know, say, let's do this. If something goes wrong, how do we do that? So I think that this event should have taught us, you know, a lot of lessons in the past, but sadly, it was not done. It's not benefited from them to be very recurring of similar events. All the time, it does occur.
Interestingly, Finian, you mentioned, you used the expression events management. When most persons, yeah, I imagine, hear events management, what comes to mind is balloons and tying ribbons and designing tablecloths and chairs as well. And that's it. And that's the event. Yeah. And lights also to make the background look, or backdrop, to make everywhere look very nice. So you're saying that event management is beyond backdrop, balloons and ribbons?
Definitely, just to the words right of me. I mean, you cannot manage an event. In fact, I'm being compelled to go straight to the issue on the ground, and I want to make references to what just happened and why this discussion, you know, is taking place.
Go ahead, please.
Now, I want to say this. Yeah, I mean, you know, now this event, you know, as a result of what has just happened, has started since 2014. And what you expect at the end of an event is this: there has to be a review of the committee that managed the event. And such reviews can include the items we came to share. Did we share them? Yes, we did share them. Did everybody get? Every person did get. Okay, what other concerns did we have? The public came in, those who were not invited did come. How did we manage it? Okay, there were minor incidents. Okay, don't report them because it will put us on a bad light. All right? Even if you don't bring this information to the public, you could have read these them for reviews. Okay, what can we do better in the next event? 2014, 2022. Dion, look at how many years have gone. And yes, before a major incident that will involve fatality should happen, there could have been millions of near-misses. Those red lines are there. They've been there. Nobody took them seriously. Family, you know, have to put somebody else in to get to this point. Yeah.
All right. Also, at what point, because speaking in relation to the recent, and I need to make it clear that the conversation we're having, even though it may have been spoiled by the unfortunate incident at the Polo Club, but it spans beyond that, and in hope that we can take a cue from what's happened, learn a thing or two, and prevent them in the future. Now, with reference to the King's Assembly event, there are some who have argued that the event was to start at a certain time, maybe 9 a.m. or thereabouts, and people were reported to have gathered from the night before. Some reports say from as early as 1 a.m. The crowds have started to gather. 2, 3 a.m. crowds have started to gather. And even other reports say at the time the stampede happened and lives were lost, the event was not officially open. So my question to you is, as a safety and health expert, and talking about event management, at what point is the organizer of an event responsible for the safety of persons who are invited or expected or have shown up for this event? Is it when they gather there, or is it when the event officially commences?
Okay, bye. There are a lot of things that need to happen before the event, any event that has an anticipation of having a massive crowd coming together. And those things actually include planning ahead of it, okay? Now, before you say, okay, we're having 2,000 persons gather, you should actually know your audience, first of all, and look at an anticipation of the number of persons you are expecting to have in such event. The spokesperson of that organization said that the crowd was unanticipated. They didn't anticipate they were going to have that large turnout. But there are factors that you need to actually consider to know whether the number of persons are going to be unprecedented or not. And that is we are calling people to come here and take our normal free handout. Okay? Now, who do we expect to come and what number are we expecting? Common sense should, you know, prevail to say our economy is terrible now, and a lot of persons who may not have been invited, who didn't know about this event, would actually come. So you should prepare they're going to have a large number of persons. And by the way, don't be surprised. Should I tell you now that if you check the attendance of these events from 2014 to 2022, there is a rise. If you monitor the trend, it's thought that there is a rise in the number of persons that have turned up for this thing because it has not been well. You understand what I'm saying? In terms of the economy, you know, every year that you go by, you see the number of persons increase just to come and take these handouts that could help one way or the other. And let me also put this clear now. I saw a video on Facebook, and the video, you know, right there, you could see a lady telling the crowd had gathered around 3 a.m. that, hello, if you knew you were supposed to be there and you're sleeping, because whoever was sleeping was not there, by the way. So she was saying, if you knew you were going to be there and you're sleeping, no, you're going to miss out. And then let me translate that statement to you. It means that all of the persons who were listening to her, we definitely called those who were at home sleeping to come and gather, you see? So without knowing or knowing, they didn't know that they had triggered an event that would spill over to what we have just seen. So when you say at what point will organizers of events know that crowds is going to exceed their expectations, the indications are waiting there. But they lack the competence to know what to do on how to manage it.
Now what I'm asking is, at what point are the organizers responsible for the safety of the crowd? Because once again, there's an argument that the event had not started, so you cannot hold the organizers responsible for what happened outside or as persons trying to gain access to the venue.
Well, you must take responsibility for anybody that comes to. Let me tell you that what is called owners of premises responsibility to health and safety, okay? And these are laws made internationally for us, and then we call them in our own national legislation that helps us to manage this type of situation. Sadly, I'm not sure we have any legislation on particularly crowd, you know, gathering and then, you know, all of those. But the truth is that when you invite somebody to a premises, one of the premises should actually make this place a safe place for people to gather. Other than just making access to the gate and exit, the place must be comforting for the people who gather there. You take responsibility from when people come to your event. It is not like the event has started or has begun. No. Once you call somebody to your house and the person steps in, whether the lunch has begun or not, you take responsibility for your safety.
Hello, Finian. Finian, just please hold that thought. Yeah. Hold that thought, Finian. Pardon me. We have to go for a commercial break right now. We'll return in a moment. My conversation with Ibu Finian continues in a bit. Please stay with us.
When knowledge meets action, information liberates. How informed do you need to be to thrive in a fast-changing world?
Listen to Experts Only.
Keep your dial locked on 92.3 Nigeria Info. For the best of news, talk, and sports 24/7.
I am listening.
All right, welcome back to the Hard Factor Nigeria Info here in Port Harcourt. Finian, could you finish up that thought, please, before we move on?
All right. What I did say before the timeout was that it is the responsibility of owner of the facility to ensure that whoever does come to his or her facility is safe. Okay? It is the responsibility of anybody that you invite to your place, your responsibility to make sure that nothing happens to the person. It does not matter whether the wedding reception had begun. It does not matter if you were there. Okay, even you take your money to a bank and you steal your money in the bank, or if you're in the bank, they're going to pay. Just come out there. So the law makes it imperative, as statutory as it can be, for whoever owns the facility that accommodates people who are not part of the organization to make sure that their health and safety is not put in harm's way. So that is what the minimum requirements can expect for facility owners. I think the problem we're having in this part of the world is the awareness is not there, okay? The awareness is not there, and a lot of people don't know that they can litigate on issues like this. And then,
I'm afraid we do have to go for another quick break. We'll return shortly. Please stay with us.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts.
Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk. Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to the Hard Factor Nigeria Info here in Port Harcourt. Time dial 28 minutes to go before 6 p.m. The major news is up at 6, but discussions continue for now. Neymar is to conduct an assessment of the stampede that led to the death of 31 people at the Polo Club. How should large gatherings of this nature be organized to prevent such disasters? My guest has joined me via phone. Iwo Finian is an occupational health and safety consultant, also visiting lecturer, Center for Occupational Health, Safety and Environment at the University of Port Harcourt. Finian, you're welcome once again. Now, before we went on the break, you were talking about the responsibility of the event, any event owner, to ensure the safety of persons who are going to occupy that venue for any event that's been organized. And the responsibility commences even before the event may start officially or commence. However, now, since you talk about the event owners or the venue owners, does that absolve, in this particular case, in your professional opinion, will that absolve the organizers of the event? Because organizers of an event may not, as in this case, be the owners of the venue. If when, for example, when King's Assembly held the this event on their church premises, they are the organizers, they also own the venue. But in this case, organizers still, but the venue was the Polo Club. So, does it mean that only the event owners bear responsibility? Does responsibility or liability also extend to the organizers as well?
In this context, there are two parts to it. One is actually the person who came for an event, and then the second part is actually the event organizer, and then you have the facility owner. Now, the reason why both the facility owner and the event planner are comfortable in this case is, when I want to hire an event, should I want to hire an event place, I would ask, I'm expecting 1,000 persons there, okay? What arrangement do you have on ground for, to bring in 1,000 persons there? How do you manage 1,000 persons? So, in as much as the intention for bringing persons, all these people together were, intended for good, but this has happened, and we need to look at what they didn't do right. So I think, best practice globally is that the owner of the facility liaises with the event organizer to ensure that the place is safe for the people who are coming to participate in the event. So you cannot exempt the event organizer in this context, because if they had done what they were supposed to do, all of these red lights should have been identified early enough and then controls put in place. I'm not even talking about the recovery measures that were not even adequate, okay, when it happened and what we saw, So this is for another day. Perhaps we have not had any issue like that before, to be minor and all that. So in this context, Dio, I'm telling you that should litigation begin, it is better to see through the event organizer and then the owner of the facility, because both of them were negligent in this scenario that eventually led to the incident, and look at what we have on our hands. But I think that's the back.
So let's talk about what steps should have been taken, because we can have a million discussions on this matter, but in my estimation, if we do not talk about what could have been done or what should be done for future events as well to ensure that we do not experience this again, then the conversation is not concluded. So what could have been done or what should be done in similar instances to ensure that what we experienced did not happen, even though this happened, or will not happen again in the future?
Okay, This is a very terrible incident, and it's unfortunate that people only should learn naturally from events like this. Okay, like I did say earlier on, we have had repeated cases of this, okay, in the past, but none of us learn. Nobody learns from them. You know? Now, there are a lot of things that should have been done or put in place to eliminate the chances that this event, you know, would have occurred. Okay, better still, measures that should have been put in place to be able to, you know, save most of this, you know, number of fatalities recorded could have been minimal, which also some, you know, measures were put in place. Let me say this. These are the things that from best practice that should be done, and organizations that intend gathering that have the potential to gather massive number of persons to cluster in a particular place for an event. One is that you must plan in advance. I'll break this down. One is that you must plan in advance, and everything I'm going to mention that will fall under planning in advance. Okay? And the first thing you also need to know your audience. If that event was actually for church members alone, okay, church members who have been living back, okay, so in this case, they know it is for the general public, so the number naturally would increase because of the way the economic situation of, you know, the country, and persons will look for where to get a meal or the other and all that. So you should have seen the number of persons were expecting. So remember, I did say earlier on that the 2022 crowd was unanticipated from the spokesperson of the organization, which means they didn't know. But I said the red line they would have spotted earlier on, the factors they should have considered, they know the number of persons that will be present, very likely. And you give a close gap of additional persons just in case it's still over. Okay? That was not done. And this would also consider the type of venue to hire. The next thing you need to do is to inform relevant authorities that you have an event. Okay? Should we tear it across? Let them come and, you know, be on standby. Okay? Do we have additional personnel trained to actually intervene in medical emergencies or where first aid, you know, administration could actually help to reduce number of casualties? Yes, that can be considered. Inform the police to help in crowd control. Was that done? I don't know if that was done, but these are the steps. And most importantly, you carry out what is called the risk assessment. And this risk assessment you put into cognizance the previous events they have had, situations that arose from the event. Have they had issues of medical emergencies or things like that? They may have had, very likely, but they were not manifested and issues were not made. So all of those previous events will actually be put into consideration. And those things will have helped to monitor trends and patterns. It's okay. We have 1,000 in 2014, and in 2020, we have 10,000. So definitely in 2022, that has no room for 14,000. So that should also be considered. And then there should be in place an emergency response plan. These recovery measures are actually put in place just in case the things are planned for the bingo or not take care of this. If the concerns, the gaps, the unsafe conditions, or rather, the behavior of persons and their acts that could lead to an incident have been identified and eliminated, there won't be any need for this. But because you might find people of different persons, you might find people who had, because the scale over that place of persons may have rested a few joints that, you know, a lot of persons have done different things that will bring them there. So we should have also made room for emergency plan that is elaborate to contain the number of persons they had and the siege, because 3 a.m. was enough for you to know that we're actually going to have a handful of persons that bring them. That should also be called. Emergency response plan should be there. And then include your own persons, your own personnel, to the additional, you know, person you're going to get from the responsibility they're going to integrate into it, so that if they need 1 day or 2 day training, you're able to bring them to be able to manage minor medical emergencies like CPR, whatever it is, actually save some persons. Because if you saw the video, a lot of bodies were lying over and have few persons trying to attend to all of those persons. You know, this thing ticks and it can't take, and that's how people lose their lives. Then the use of signage to actually help in times of crowd control. Now, remember this. If you have crowd, you need to communicate with them. What did you tell the crowd? They gathered and opened to get everybody to rush in, and then, you know, they worked on themselves, and then there was a stampede and all that. What information did you provide? How did you provide information? Was the means of information audible enough for people there to say, hey, nobody should come in? What arrangement did you have? First person in a single line, 1 to 2nd, 1 to 2nd, 1. and the number of personnel on ground were not sufficient enough to manage the persons who were on ground. Okay? The demarcation between the people and the event place was not sufficient. Okay? The reason is the many people have restrictions, impediments, so getting to the next access, so getting to the next access, so getting to the next access. By so being actually managing the crowd and all that. Okay? Now, it's also important to note that we should make provision for security. While we are looking for persons, a lot of persons also came with their vehicles and a lot of persons also came to steal. So these are things we plan in advance. It doesn't happen 24 hours. But the fact that we did it before, we didn't have any issue that escalated to this level does not mean that it cannot. If it could happen, if it had happened in other events, that the likelihood it could happen in your own event. So don't say by the grace of God. By the grace of God, you have to go back how many thousand, a lot of people, and then you didn't do anything, and the grace should pull you through. So let us look at training. You need to look at training as an important part of this crowd management concept. You have a committee, you say, in practice, the government agencies who are supposed to be part of this. The government agencies will come and they say, okay, those are trainings you need to give to your personnel, also augment it, whatever we have at that in terms of personnel and level of competence. That did not happen. If it did, we didn't see it. I'm very likely, if you are a visitor to somebody's house, it is imperative you listen to what the person is going to say. Daya, don't go to this place. Daya, don't go to this place. Daya, don't go to this place. Now, that was not done. And the way the card is, that cannot be done in isolation. Basically, communication was actually a very big problem when that happened. And I don't think there's an excuse for that. Now, this is actually the basic information or practices of measures that should be considered or factors when you want to have an event that you will have unprecedented number of persons clustering in a particular location. This is the barest minimum you can go. Now let us look at what didn't the government do or responsibility of the government in this type of thing. Let me go, are you there?
Yes, go ahead. Wrap it up quickly, please.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna do that, yeah. Now click on the diode. Let's look at this one that just happened, on Saturday. And look at this one. There's one happened in 2023, and 24 persons died. That was in Anambra. It was a church event like this, and 24 persons died. The one that happened in 2014, 16 people died while doing this job screen in Abuja. That's not too long ago. This happened. Now, you had expected that government should have said, hey, if the event has happened, what do we do? The responsible agencies will come. What do we do? And secondly, when you come to River State, for instance, I want to do an event that will bring people together. The Ministry of Special Duties, where I think the public safety of people fall into, should have said, look, if you want to have an event that has more than 1,000 persons gathered and 500 gathered, you need to have an approval from this ministry. And the ministry will not give that approval until a proper risk assessment is done, the number of persons, the number of days they're going to stay, the basic minimum welfare issues and all those minimum safety requirements that should, if they are not compliant with, approvals are not going to be given. This is where I think that government didn't really do well.
And on that note, we will have to wrap up the conversation right now. Many thanks to listening, especially many thanks to my guest, Iwu Finian, is occupational health and safety consultant, and also visiting lecturer, Center for Occupational Health Safety.